Our scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 1 through 18. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days adorned for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
And let us pray. O Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts of all our minds and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. You call each of us by name. We are yours. So may all we do and say bring honor to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is confirmation weekend here at McCabe United Methodist Church. And in just a few minutes, actually, six of our youth will publicly claim their faith in Jesus Christ and their commitment to a lifetime of Christian service. These six youth have participated in 2 years of Wednesday night classes during which we explored Bible stories, Christian faith, issues of discipleship, and the history and beliefs of the United Methodist Church. Their families have supported them in the midst of this process, and this past year, each of our six confirmants had mentors walking alongside them, mentors with whom they prayed regularly and had critical conversations about life and faith. Preaching on Confirmation Weekend presents a unique challenge to the preacher, especially in a congregation like ours, where we have multiple worship services over the course of the weekend, but where the confirmation is only happening at one of those services. See, a preacher preaches primarily to those being confirmed on Confirmation Weekend. And a preacher preaches to those being confirmed, hoping that he or she will say something the confirmands can remember and hold on to. Over the course of this weekend, hundreds of people will worship with us here at the cave, but this sermon was written specifically with our six confirmands in mind. As I told them during our rehearsal on Wednesday evening, my sermon this weekend is first and foremost for them. The rest of you all just get to listen in. Now, for the past several weeks here at McCabe, we have been in a sermon series about vocation, about God's call on God's purposes for each of our lives.
Nothing.
This weekend marks the final weekend of our vocation series, and the confirmation weekend is just the perfect bookend for it.
Yeah.
Incidentally, next weekend, we begin a new series called The Gospel According to Dr. Seuss, and I cannot wait. For 8 weeks, Pastor Mark and I will be using Dr. Seuss stories to help illustrate biblical truths, and it promises to be both fun and challenging. Well, anyway, I've known for quite some time that this vocation series would come to its conclusion on Confirmation Weekend. But until several weeks ago, I hadn't really figured out what specifically I might preach about or on which Bible passage I would base this message. Well, several weeks ago, on a Wednesday evening, our confirmands, their mentors, some of their parents, and I all spent nearly 2 hours at Eastgate Funeral Home here in town. And interestingly enough, during that visit to the funeral home, this sermon began to form. While we were at Eastgate Funeral Home, Bob Eastgate, the owner and director, talked with us for about 45 minutes, and then he gave us a tour of their main facility. We saw their offices, we saw the casket and urn selection room, and we saw the preparation room. Many people who grew up in the church and participated in confirmation perhaps took a funeral home tour at some point. I know I did when I was in confirmation in Duval in probably 8th or 9th grade. So it was a familiar concept to many, but for others it seemed a little strange. Why would you take a group of 9th graders to the funeral home? A funeral home visit was encouraged in the materials that our confirmands and their mentors were following together, so we decided to go as a class. The reason a confirmation class might decide to visit a funeral home is simply because death is part of life. And because as people of Christian faith, we believe certain things about death and about the everlasting life God promises us through Jesus Christ. We had celebrated Easter not long before our funeral home visit, so the timing made holy sense. As Bob Eastgate talked with us before the actual tour, he talked about his faith and about how his faith informs the work he does with families through the funeral home. He shared that doing the work he does, being part of funeral planning day in and day out, often reminds him not to take life for granted, and to build a life that's meaningful, a life that in the end, you and others will be proud of. Taking intentional time with your family and your friends, finding meaningful volunteer work to serve your community. Life and time are precious gifts to be cherished. We should use them well and faithfully. When we were at the funeral home a few weeks ago, Bobby Skate also told us a little bit about someone whose funeral was happening that very week. The man was a Korean War veteran, and Bob showed us a Bible this man had carried with him through much of his life, including through his time in the Vietnam during the Korean War. In the very back cover of this tattered old Bible, in the man's own handwriting, he had written this quote. Faith isn't just about holding on to God. It's about letting God hold on to you. Those are powerful words, aren't they? Faith isn't just about holding on to God. It's about letting God hold on to you. I went to seminary with a singer-songwriter named Christopher Grundy, who also happens to be a pastor in the United Church of Christ. Several years ago, he wrote a song about the struggle to hold on to God and the struggle to allow God to hold on to you in the midst of all that life can bring. The song focuses on struggles that many youth face every day, but there's a lot of meaning in it for people of any age. The song is called Out on This Wire, and the words go like this. It seems as though not long ago, when I was just a kid, I never had to agonize about
each thing I did. But now there are so many voices calling out my name. It's enough to make me wonder, whose life is it anyway? Because the boss man says you should be working longer hours, and the in crowd says, better try a puff of these. And the war man says, come and offer up your body. So Holy One, hold my hand as I walk out on this fire, trying to balance while juggling the knives and the fire. Help me to choose what I'm going to live for, so I will find my life's still mine, and I am yours. She's always been a nice girl, always done the best she could. She goes to church, she plays the flute. Her grades are mostly good. But when the day is over and her back's still to the wall, she gets this sinking feeling that she'll never please them all. Because her head coach says, give me all or give me nothing. And her mother says, you should spend more time at home. And her boyfriend says, you could show me that you love me alone. And she prays, Holy One, hold my hand as I walk out on this wire, trying to balance while juggling the knives and the fire. Help me to choose what I'm going to live for, so I will find my life still mine, and I am yours. And the TV says, money's still the only answer. And the preacher says, ours is still the only way. And the cover girl whispers, shouldn't you be thinner like me? So Holy One, hold my hand as I walk out on this wire, trying to balance while juggling the knives and the fire. Help me choose what I'm going to live for, so I will find my life's still mine, and I am yours. The imagery of the tightrope walk is powerful. But even more powerful is the urgent prayer that God hold our hands as we walk out onto the tightrope of life. Faith isn't just about holding on to God. Faith is also about letting God hold on to you. Most of us learn at a relatively young age that there are times when we desperately need to be held. Friends betray us. Our hearts get broken. We don't make the team. A test or a project comes back with a grade we don't like. Life is more chaotic than we can handle. We have no idea what direction we should go when it comes to school or work. Something scary happens to one of our parents, our grandparents, or our friends. When these things happen, we feel lonely, anxious, and we need to be held tightly by one who knows us and who we trust will always love us no matter what. That's where today's scripture from Psalm 139 comes in, with its reminder that God searches us and knows us inside out. It's a reminder that God is always with us, that God made us fearfully and wonderfully. Those are some of my absolute favorite words from scripture. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And these words right here from Psalm 139, these words are true whether or not they feel true. I remember how strange and awkward I often felt when I was a teenager, wishing I were thinner, prettier, wishing I felt less shy and more confident more of the time. If I had one message for my teenage self, it would be the message of Psalm 139. The message that the God who made me promises to hold on to me no matter what. It's a message I hope we can all